Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Potomac just wrapped a pretty mid-season and followed it up with an instantly iconic reunion, and we're going to talk all about it. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we are doing our end-of-season deep dive for Season 9 of The Real Housewives of Potomac. Joining me to break it all down is Kaya Wilson, who is one half of Bravo Wild Black, which is both a podcast of that name and also a great Instagram account of that name. We had a really thorough, great conversation all about this season, everything from who we lost after Season 8 and whether we missed them, who we added for Season 9 and how they performed, Karen's DUI saga, Mia Thornton's paternity and relationship mess, and then, of course, everything that went down to that truly fantastic reunion, which we both kind of think sets us up for a really great Season 10 of The Real Housewives of Potomac. We went for an hour, and you'll absolutely love it. I also have a lot of fun stuff coming up for you guys on the show, including interviews with both Brittany and Danielle from The Traitors. And as of recording this on Thursday afternoon, I actually have no idea what happens in The Traitors finale, even though I have these interviews scheduled. So I don't know if they're winners or losers or what. I don't know what happens, but I'll be chatting with them about whatever happens, both in the finale and at the reunion, as well as some more end of season deep dives for you and a really, really great episode that I'm really excited for you guys to hear all about the state of the Housewives reunion. So anyway, I hope you enjoy my end of season deep dive for RHOP Season 9 with Kaya Wilson. Check out her podcast, Bravo Wild Black, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow her account at Bravo Wild Black, and please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you guys several times next week. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Kaya Wilson, co-host and co-creator of Bravo Wild Black, the podcast and the Instagram account. Kaya is here today to help me break down Season 9 of The Real Housewives of Potomac, which just wrapped. I've been meaning to have Kaya on for quite some time now, and I'm happy that we're finally making it work. Kaya, thank you for doing this. How are you?
How are you is the question, honey. I feel like we've seen each other in, that was years ago now.
Miami.
It's been too long, but I am so good. It's good to see you. It's good to finally be on Gabbin. And also, welcome to Herdat. Like, now we're
Thank
on the
you.
Same
Yeah, we're on network. The same network. I know, I'm really excited about
we're
that.
We're so interconnected. But yeah, I'm good.
And I feel like for the past, it's been like a long time coming for this to actually be official. And so like, I knew in the back of my mind that I actually wanted the fellow like Herdat people to come on once that happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For like you guys, Christian,
it makes
like
some more
of the
sense.
Other. Exactly. So I'm glad this felt like the perfect time to do that. So obviously we're coming off of this season of Potomac, which like I have my thoughts on. The reunion felt like a totally different vibe than the season. What are your sort of top line feelings about Season 9 of Potomac?
It wasn't the best season. I think it was a strong start, slow middle, and then it picked back up literally at the finale.
Right.
And I felt like at the finale, that's when I was like, oh, we have a turn here, because all of a sudden we're hearing about the whole thing with, you know, Stacey, Wendy, and Karen. And then, of course, that horrible dog show where the dogs got scared and started pooping everywhere. And it was just hilarious, like, not classic Potomac, but classic Chaotic Housewives
totally.
Event. So I'm like, oh, we are so back. And then when Andy was like, you're going to be surprised by the reunion. And I'm like, there's no
he
way that we can
that.
Be. Yeah.
Right.
There's no way, because we already know what happens. But then the reunion came and part one was so good. And I was like,
I know.
Now I'm seated. Part two was even better. And then part three comes and you think it's going to be all about Karen. And little did we know, it actually wasn't.
Right. No, I feel like it was the rare reunion where like it actually got better with each part. Whereas like sometimes part two can be sort of like the forgettable, like sort of filler between. No, like it got better every single time. And I agree. It was frustrating because it did start strong. It felt like, okay, we have these three to four, if you count Vivian, like 3 to 4 new women who were like in the mix. They feel promising. It's a whole group of new blood. And then it just sort of petered out. And then the Mia stuff just kind of took center stage for so long. And then it was missing what you just said, which is the Stacey, Wendy, Karen thing, which was like interpersonal drama in this group. Like there like wasn't that much of that this season, I feel like. And like it came, once it came, it was like so needed, but it came like it just came too late. I wish it had come like during the trip or something at least. You know what I mean?
Right. So we can really dig into that because we had this whole time and I'm thinking that not only does Karen love Wendy, but she also loves Stacey. And then Stacey, like what would they say in like wrestling terms, turned heel and was like, actually, Karen doesn't like you. She warned me about you. Mm-hmm. And this is what she said. And then, of course, we have TJ. It's just.
Yeah, we'll get into TJ.
But I just feel like
Stacey sort of stepped up to the plate late in the game, but she stepped up to the plate regardless. You know what I mean? And like we needed that. We needed that moment.
Because we were loving, okay, I can't speak for you. Let me know if you agree. I was loving Stacey all season because she was just this delusional black Barbie doll.
Yes.
And I know that some people hate that she has a QVC voice on all the time and that she's kind of like a little bit prim and proper, but I was living for that all season because I'm like, okay, we have this new person. She's a QVC person. She's going through a divorce, but she's calling this guy her best friend who won't hook up with her. Now we know why. And we're seeing them interact. And also just at the beginning, when Giselle and Ashley had, I think, was it Jazzy that called it the gangsters and alcohol event? She was just so offended by what happened then. And she, I really think this whole season, I had my eye on Stacey. And then for her to not only just be the interesting one, the newer one, the interesting one to watch this season, she then brings up this thing, which we could have used earlier, but she also carried through to the reunion. And it's just so, it was so good to watch. I do think that a lot of the middle part was just boring. And I am a Grand Dame stan, so it's hard to see, you know, Karen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I'm like, Karen has historically been one of my favorite housewives ever. But I agree with Stacey that it's sort of like, I actually, the QVC thing, like, one, it makes sense to me because that's how she was on TV before. But also, two, like, I kind of like that there's sort of this artifice and like, it's clearly not the fully real her. And there's like, I feel like over time we'll chip away at that. It's almost like it's almost like how like Paris Hilton has her, like, you know, her persona, and then like you'll see it sort of dip down when she speaks in her low voice. It's sort of like, I feel like Stacey has that kind of similar duality to her.
Yeah, and I know that they are definitely going to bring that out of her the next season.
They'll force it out of her, exactly. So going back to the beginning, coming into this season, we had lost Robin, Candace, and NECA. So we had lost three people of sort of various tenures on the show.
Right.
Did you miss them? How did you feel about losing those three?
Okay, with Robin, I think that it was good to have Robin not there because we've got to see Giselle by herself. And that's what we've been wanting to see, because even on Girls Trip, we really didn't get to see Giselle, you know, solo. NECA, I don't even remember. Like, I think she's pregnant, so congratulations to her. So yes, I don't remember congrats. Her.
Yeah, wish her all the best. Yeah,
exactly. And then with Candace, I think that it's better that we didn't see Candace because she needed to have a peaceful pregnancy, and like she would just be over these ladies. So I think that even though we were missing Candace in a way, we still got through the season pretty well.
Yeah, and I agree that like we needed Giselle without Robin. We needed her to sort of prove that she like we knew she had it in her, obviously, but we needed to see that without sort of the inherent backup. And I also think that like Candace and Giselle could not coexist on the show for any longer. And ultimately, Giselle is more intrinsic to the DNA of Potomac at this point in its life cycle. And like I agree. Candace needed to like go have her baby away from the cameras, be happy again. And then I'm sure she will come back at some point in the future. Like I'm like more sure of that than like almost anybody else. You know what I mean? Like she is made, made for this in so many ways, but it just like had gotten to a point where one of them had to step down. And like, I don't think it made sense for Giselle to be doing that at this point, you know?
Oh, it absolutely doesn't make sense for Giselle to step down, because I think that not only, like, obviously people like to call her the producer, which in some ways, you know, she is.
Right.
But we kind of need.
Yeah, the show benefits from that.
The show benefits from that. And then we also need to see her without Robin. And Candace, like, they were trying to come after her husband.
Yeah.
And Candace is the kind of person that will literally, like, stop the cameras, dead ass. Like, we're not talking about my husband. So it's not going to be a thing. And then now that she's pregnant, it would have been like that times
even more
10.
Than so true.
And she also wants, you know, she has her singing career, which she's very serious about. So I'm like, you know what? She can go, she can take a break, and she'll be good.
Yeah. And she'll be back too. You know, she'll be good and she'll be back. So the big storylines going into the season, Karen with the DUI and Mia with everything involving G and Inc and the paternity of her son and all of that. But only one of them really played ball with the big storyline. Obviously, like, you know, we know that Karen kind of stonewalled for the DUI conversation. She said that it was a legal matter and it was still ongoing, which it technically was, you know, like that definitely was true. Whether that was a wise idea for her to make it a prolonged legal thing, that's another question. Even that, I did kind of expect her to be pushed a little bit more. Mia pushed a lot. Jacqueline pushed some. But Ashley, I guess, pushed a little bit. But like, I almost expected more out of her in that regard, just because I expected the women to push her to be that way. You know what I mean? Like, What did you make of what we ultimately got in the Karen DUI situation?
I think she handled it very grand-domly, though.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I think it's tricky, right? Especially because we're seeing now how serious it was. Karen, she might not have known how she acted that night. She might have blacked out, but she knew when we didn't know, and some of them might not have knew that this was her fourth DUI.
Yeah.
So she probably, by any means, needed to stop any conversation going on about it. But to do it so brazenly and to be so brash about it, that was a terrible idea. And I think that they did push her, you know.
Yeah.
Ashley did the shade, of course. Giselle took her to the action. They're at Sally Ho's talking about it.
That's true.
You know,
the Uber gift card from Ashley. Yeah.
Exactly. Mia and Jacqueline brought it up during the trip. It was brought up throughout the season.
You're right. I guess I expected her to, like, I don't know. We just got like literally nothing about it. You know what I mean? Like, we literally got no details from her. I just expected like something to trickle out from her or whatever. But yeah, then we have Mia's storyline, which I found like, I didn't find it was very enjoyable to watch. I found it kind of hard to follow with all the stuff sort of happening on and off the show and that all contradicting each other and the timeline. Like, it just felt like kind of like convoluted and confusing. And I think to a lot of us and to the women, clearly, as we saw in the reunion, it felt like a big ruse, you know, especially after learning on the reunion or being reminded, I can't remember what we knew or not, that he was a conceived via IVF, which meant that like it was definitely G's sperm. And it was also, they would have done a pregnancy blood test on her to know if she was already pregnant by having sex with Ink before getting inseminated via IVF. So, like, that's layered, but like ultimately Ashley was like at the reunion, no, you would have known if you were already pregnant with somebody else's child when you were having IVF. So like all of that, knowing all of that, it's just like, what are we doing here with the
made
Mia
it
stuff?
Worse.
Yeah.
It made it so much worse because it was already, okay, I will say, I'm not going to lie. At the beginning, everyone was complaining about it from the get-go. And
okay.
I'll be the first person to say, y'all were right. Y'all were right. But I, at the beginning, I felt like I liked it.
What did you like about it?
I liked that she was just like, yeah, I have my baby daddy. I have my husband. I have my girlfriend. We're a big, happy family. But we saw G snap on her and say that they are, in fact, not a big, happy family. I thought that that was just like the extent of it. But I didn't think that we would have, I think it was more towards the middle slash end when we found out that he had taken his own paternity test. That was when it was really crazy. And then also when, like Giselle said, when she pointed to Ashley when she was a boy and they were at the drag event. Like, I think that was when I was just like, and then she was just like, it's no one's business. That was when I was like, okay, this is no longer the show that I know and love. And this is no longer funny or anything, because, you know, what she's trying to explain, and I get to a certain extent, is that we see it a lot when people have mental health issues and they are manic, they will act and say and do one thing. I've experienced that firsthand. But at the same time, you could be someone who is triggering him to act this way,
right?
Gaslighting him. We see that on camera. So it's like, this is a delicate situation. And not to mention that you purposely say, you know, my children's fathers. And then she's like, oh, well, my oldest has a different father. So it's like, you're taking us on so many different rides, wording things differently, trying to blame things on a man who's going through, you know, his mental health issues that he is now just dealing with at his older age, which makes it way harder to deal with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just became a different thing. And then, like you said, on the reunion, when we found out, well, we didn't find that out because I think
we knew that.
Mentioned it.
Yeah, but we were reminded.
But we forgot. We forgot.
And also reminded of the literal mechanics of how that works, which is like,
right,
there is no doubt about where it's coming from. You know
exactly who's. And to put your child through that on national TV, that was just like demented.
Yeah. And I agree about the mental health stuff with G. And I felt that like it was hard to tell when she would bring that up, like he was going through these episodes or whatever. It was hard to tell if she was being really genuine about like the fact that in that moment, it was a hard moment for her, or if she was using it as an excuse to like make him look bad, basically. Like it felt like it was coming up sort of a convenient moment, you know what I mean? Right. And like in terms of her bringing it up, and right. Like I think back to that scene this season where it's her and Ink, and G walks in. He had previously told her, "I don't want to film with Ink. Mm-hmm. I don't want to film with him." And they basically activate him, and they get him to sort of lose his shit a little bit, and then he leaves. And and the kids are in the other room. And I think that whole scene was concocted by them because they knew that they could get him to lose his shit. You know what I mean? Like, so after, especially after that, when she would bring up like his, you know, his quote unquote manic episodes, it was hard for me to trust the narrator or the messenger of that. You know what I mean?
She's an unreliable narrator.
The most.
But I think what happened though, is that it didn't go the way that she expected it to go, because we saw that and we were like, hey, no, this is not him being manic. Even if it is him being manic and he's lying, you are saying things that could trigger anyone. This man just told you, okay, allegedly told her off camera, but he told you on camera that he does not want to film with you three. So even if he is hanging out with you guys off camera, he can say whatever the hell he wants to say on camera because he told you he didn't want to do this. So right. If he's showing his behind, then you deserve it because you knew what the boundaries were. You poked at it. And now you want to, oh my God. What really pissed me off was when at the end of it, and then, you know, he brought up that she had trigger warning, like she had an abortion from Ink while I guess they were married or whatever. But then she goes to the event, and that's when I was like, no. She goes to the event and she's like, Gordon told Ink that I had an abortion, and then Ink was acting like he didn't know, and we could tell that Ink absolutely did know because Mia even looked at him like he didn't know. It was just like so messy.
The message was so dark.
No. Yeah.
It's like, this is not the kind of stuff that I want to be like deciding whether you're telling the truth. Like, I don't like, this is not the kind of stuff that we want to really be like, I don't know.
It just feels icky. Because we went from Potomac being the prim and proper franchise. It was about manners. It was about fighting about champagne rooms. It was about who's the grand dame. And I understand that we kind of moved away from that when we got some younger people on. You know, when we came on, Candace came on, they really got it popping. And yes, there were some incidents that happened that, you know, kind of moved it, but it wasn't this.
No.
Whatever this was, it was not okay.
Right. Right. And I think that, you know, and as I said, Wendy sort of backed up your theory on the reunion when she was like, I think this was all a plan and it blew up in your face. It didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And then on the reunion, when, you know, they talk all about it and they all sort of, you know, they are all sort of, you know, they're going against her because none of them are buying what she's selling.
Right.
And then when it comes to the moment where she has to be held accountable of what she said about Giselle's daughters, which is like apparent, like with the whole thing about them sneaking the boys in. And apparently she said worse things about them that was cut out of the show. Once Giselle brings that up and basically is like, what do you have to say for yourself? Like, I would never do that. What you did to your kids as a mother, Mia storms out and never comes back because she can't, she can dish it, but she can't really take it. You know, she creates this mess and she can't clean it up, you know?
Yeah. What I thought was crazy was that she came into this reunion already crying, spinning out. Like, she thought that was going to get her, you know, her little apology to Stacey and Jazzy, who, listen, I live in South Florida, so let's just say if I had to go to another state to celebrate your birthday and you ditch me, I'm beating your ass. I'm sorry.
Like, and I'm bringing it up on TV.
I'm bringing it up. Like, everyone needs to know because they didn't show this. And this is very important to the plot.
Yeah, like, exactly.
She absolutely does all these things on and off camera. And she just is like, well, this is my life. No, you can't. You don't then turn around and start crying. And when people don't want to accept your apology, you know, oh, maybe if I'm crying, they won't go as hard on me. This is a reunion. You have to answer for what you did. You have to answer for what Ink did because Ink has left you high and dry. You have to answer for all the questions that the audience have and the questions that the ladies have. Mm-hmm. And for her to come in that crying and boo-hooing already, thinking that they were going to go soft on her, Giselle didn't even really get into that aspect.
No, she didn't. No, she was winding up.
Right. She was just starting. Like,
the target went away. You know what I mean? Like, that's very much unresolved. I'm curious if you think, if we'll see her again, do you think that Mia is back? Do you want to see her back? Like, what are your thoughts on sort of, because it's very open-ended with her right now.
I don't know if I genuinely do not know if I want.
Right.
To see her back, especially if we're going to get what she gave us this season. If she comes back, no Ink, leave Gordon alone and tell the truth.
Right.
Will we see her back? I think she will be asked back because Karen is gone. A lot of people that I thought that weren't going to be back when Karen got those... Karen got that sentence. A lot of people got a contract that they wouldn't get. And on top of that, I know that she owns a couple of joint clinics or chiropractic clinics or whatever, but she needs the money, the appearances, the Fashion Nova sponsorship. So she's not in the position to turn that down.
No, I know, but I just don't know if, like, I think she's turned off a lot of most of the cast, if not all of them. A lot of the viewers and probably some in production because she wasn't telling the truth. Like, to me, I always think about, like, if you're really kind of pulling a fast one on, like, everybody, that is really what comes back to bite you. You know what I mean? It's one thing if you're, like, lying to the ladies, but, like, in the confessionals, you're kind of, like, being more truthful. She was kind of pulling the blanket over everybody's eyes. And yeah, I mean, for me, I would actually like to see her sort of, like, either demoted to a friend.
Yeah.
Or just really just be there for, like, interpersonal stuff, kind of nothing about her life, to be honest, because I can't trust it. I don't want Jacqueline there. It's kind of like...
Jacqueline needs to go.
And we'll get to them. Please. But, like, you take her out of the equation. It's sort of like taking Robin out of the equation for Giselle. Like, you can't have that built-in backup. So I don't know. I'm similarly iffy on her, but I agree that Karen's exit probably impacted sort of what was going to happen with her.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts
Gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
So we're going to end with Karen and the Stacey's after the reunion. So let's, you've talked about who left. I want to talk a little bit about who we got, because we talked about how promising it was at the beginning. We got Jazzy and Jacqueline. So Jacqueline we had seen before, obviously. They're both friends of, I don't need Jacqueline back. I felt like at the reunion, she was like teasing the baby daddy as a way to like try to like dangle a carrot for another season.
Stay but like, tuned.
But like nobody cares. Like,
oh, why are you still on the couch? Bye. Like, how did you get here this long?
And even if, to give her some credit, she was vindicated in some ways when it comes to Karen, you know, she really kind of was. I don't think that she has what it takes to be even a friend of. Like, it just doesn't feel like it's her thing.
Right, because it's also not like she broke any of the Karen news. Like, they've been trying to tell us that Karen been drinking every day, and we've just been ignoring it. You know, some people were ignoring it. But me personally, I've been ignoring it because I'm like, well, okay, she's good TV. That's the grind. Done.
Yeah, totally. So then, but I remain sort of intrigued by Jazzy, even though like I feel like, you know, she started strong and then they started bringing up the stuff about her sort of like being a side chick, you know, towards the beginning of her relationship. And I feel like that is sort of when she backed away a little bit. Like, she, I don't know if she couldn't handle the heat or they backed away from her. I don't really know what, I don't know if you know anything, but like, I don't really know what happened with Jazzy. She sort of was still drifting around, but like didn't really do much for the rest of the season. And then on the reunion,
she wasn't on the trip, right?
She wasn't on the trip for some reason, but then she showed up to the drag event when Ashley was a man. She showed up, but then she was like not, she said hi. And then like, that's literally it. That's all we saw. And so I'm just confused what happened, but I feel like from the beginning of the season and the reunion, I'm like, there's still, I feel something like there's something there, right?
Yeah. I want Jazzy back 100%. I want her.
Okay.
I want her, maybe not full time, but I want her back as a friend. And I want them to show more of the home life, because we also didn't get what I wanted from Kiarna. Maybe get
we'll
into
get to
that
her.
Later.
Yeah, we'll be next. Yeah.
But so I want more of Jazzy. I want to know more about the husband,
the children,
the children, what happened in between that, and also this whole thing with Mia. If Mia comes back,
yeah, like, the Miami trip. Let's talk about the Miami trip,
and it seems like she has, you know, like a newfound ally in Stacey, because it was her and Stacey who went down there, and
now
the other ladies are going to be on Stacey's behind, so she's going to need
so
someone.
Jazzy could be her backup.
Right, because she doesn't have Vivian, clearly. She doesn't have Karen. She doesn't really have, especially after what we find out on the reunion.
Right. So then, Kay, let's talk about Kay. So I recently got, I feel like a lot of people suspected this, and maybe we knew this, but I got confirmation that Kay filmed as a friend, like completely filmed as a friend.
That makes
sense. And a lot of her, most of her scenes were pickup scenes. So they were filmed after the fact. And so what that means to me is that like she wasn't empowered to film as a full-time person during the season, and that does change how you, what you bring, I do think. And like, I also think when it comes to her and Greg's scenes together and sort of his comfortability around the cameras, he had less time to show any sort of growth in that regard, you know what I mean? Like, if you think, if their scenes were all filmed in a couple weeks probably, like that's not that much time to like really get comfortable with that, right? And so like, I know that a lot of people are like, Kay didn't make any impact or whatever, but there's something about her to me that like she cracks me up kind of. And like when she chimes in, she chimes in, and like I like her confessional
coming in hot.
There's just something about her that I really am drawn to, and I can't really put it into words. So I would like to see her back, but I want to know how you reacted to her on this season.
I wouldn't mind seeing her back, but if she is going to, if she's going to be full time, then she's got just her husband, or you know, fiance, or whatever he's supposed to.
Yeah.
Did he never? He never proposed, did he?
I don't think so. I think there's still.
She said
dating
specifically in February, and now we're in March, and I don't think that I've seen anything that said that he proposed.
Right.
And on the reunion, she said that she moved back in her house, or was that at the
end? Yeah, I think she said that she was investing in another property
Right.
So it was unclear if she was going to live there full time or not, but she was definitely buying other place, she said.
Right. So if we can't get whoever she's dating on board, I don't want to see her as full time. But I still do think that she definitely has, you know, some potential. And I think that when Karen comes back, Kiana, because she messed it up with Wendy. You know, Giselle is her friend. Ashley is Karen's friend also. But I think that Kiana might be the one who will.
Yeah, I also feel like it's rare for all the OGs to like a new addition. And I feel like they all like Kay. You know what I mean? Which also makes me like, okay, like keep her around. I guess she could be a friend, which I would be totally happy with. I just, there's something about her. And then there's Stacey, who I find her to be one of the best finds for casting of Housewives in the last couple years. Like, to me, she's up there with Bronwyn on Salt Lake. She's up there with Bose on Beverly Hills. She's up there with Jen Pedranti on OC as like, just like a solid addition that you could see being around for a long time, you know, and like there'll be a journey there. And she's a total enigma. She hasn't like totally washed herself of the QVC voice. There's obviously the unusual relationship with TJ. So obviously you said during the season you were on board already with her.
From her, like just her entrance. I'm just like, who is she? Something.
She's a star. Yeah.
Yes. Like a star is born.
Yeah.
She's just, I just love, you know, I think that housewives is obviously a loose term. Like a lot of the housewives are no longer married. This is just like women.
Yes, exactly. Real women.
Exactly. Real women. So she's going through her own thing. I like that, you know, at first she was getting close to Ashley. Ashley spilled her business and she was like, what the hell? And then she was
and
just
put her
like,
bunions on the counter.
Your bunions on the counter. And she, I'm like, this, she has personality.
She does.
She also might have rented a boyfriend, but I would like to see how she handles this going into the new season.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter, you know, what she did. It's how you kind of like come back.
Yeah. And I it's feel how you like, respond. Yeah.
Yeah. It's how you respond. And I'm like, in the finale, especially, I'm like, okay, we've gotten away from the QVC Stacey. We're seeing Stacey. Like, what was that? What did Karen say? What happened? And then the whole she didn't want anyone to wear her dress kind of thing. Like, we're seeing, is she a monster? And I want to see it like grow.
No, I know, totally. And I want to chip away at it. I want to pull back the layers. Like, there's just like so much there to unpack. And like, we unpacked a lot of like her marriage stuff and with her kid and sort of all that, which was, I think, interesting. But like,
we didn't
really unpack her as a person as much, which it will be good. It just will be.
Yeah, it will be that she was able to have that conversation with Ashley too on race, because, you know, she's Black. Ashley's half Black. They are raising, you know, mixed race children, and how they talked about that. They were both going through a divorce. They're finally both, you know, divorced. I want to see how her ex-husband reacts to her and her daughter being on camera. Is her daughter going to be able to be on camera in film? You know, now that we're not going to have TJ around, what is she going to do? Because that was a part of her storyline that she let us in on. We talked about like how she only drives, I think, is at the month of May because she lost. That was very niche.
I forgot about that.
It was sad, but it was very odd.
Yeah, it was very specific.
Yeah, it was very specific. And like, I'm like, okay, that's just interesting. Like, there's just so many different things, so many angles, so many possible storylines. And also, we have to see, especially when Wendy said, if you come back around these group of women, you're going to have to answer for what is happening here.
Yeah, exactly.
We heard you. 9 years of Bring Back the Snack Wrap and you've won. But maybe you should have asked for more. Say hello to the Hot Honey Snack Wrap. Now you've really won. Go to McDonald's and get it while you can.
So, third part of the reunion, you know, to actually end of part two, Wendy gets the text from Eddie. Eddie's getting the tea from TJ with Greg on FaceTime, who says, fuck that show. Stacey's been paying me to be on it. She owes me money still. She was paying me and she hasn't paid me in full. The invoice is still, you know, open-ended. I just found it so interesting because at first Stacey deflected and she was like, I don't believe he would say that.
That's when she started embarrassing me.
Is Eddie lying? And then she's like, I don't know why TJ would say that. And then, but the whole time she's like pretty unflustered. You know what I mean? She's very much just like sitting there.
She's just like, no way.
I don't believe he would say that. You know, whatever.
There's a miscommunication.
Right. Then we get the footage and we see that he did indeed say that. And the other women are completely not buying it. Like they're completely believing TJ. She's like not backing down at all. Still she'll rise, you know?
Yes. Still I rise. Amen.
What do you think?
I love her. And yep. I love her, but I'm going to have to believe.
Okay.
I don't fully believe TJ, right? But there is something there. Maybe yeah. She's not like paying him directly like a check on time to pretend to be her boyfriend, but there had to be some kind of an arrangement because we see throughout the entire season, we see something is going on. Something is wrong. It's something in the milk ain't clean, as Phaedra would say.
Yeah, it's like it was suspicious all season.
Right.
But she's so confident that there's no proof that she was paying him. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
And he hasn't brought out any receipts.
He hasn't brought out any receipts, but I will have y'all. Listen, the Gabbers, what's your fan base called?
We're still figuring it out.
The Gabbers.
Okay.
Okay. I will have you know that TJ wants his story out there. He says that he has proof and receipts. He wants the people to know that he is not lying and that Stacey wanted him to go to Watch What Happens Live, but he did not want to go. Allegedly, that's what the streets are saying.
Which I would believe, but I feel like he's playing in our face. You know what I mean? Like,
drop the receipts.
If you have the receipts, just drop the fucking receipts. Like, I don't know if you're waiting for like the perfect podcast to go on or like trying to sell it to People Magazine, like just drop it. You know what I mean? Like take the new followers.
The problem is like, we don't give a fuck. Like I want to hear it from Stacey's part. Like, okay, you accused her, but now I want to see what Stacey is going to say.
But imagine Kaya, if the season opens and it's like Giselle and Ashley, like being like, well, TJ dropped the receipt.
Exactly.
And the first event, they like kind of bombard her with that. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty compelling.
That would eat.
A premiere episode where we get her reaction to the TJ receipts. Like, that's pretty damn good.
That would eat.
Right.
That would eat. I just think that she kind of embarrassed me because she did not believe Eddie. And I'm like, why would Eddie, of all
right,
people,
why would he lie? Like, also at the 11th hour like this. It's so random.
About this. Like, it didn't make any sense. Then she was, you know, like, saying, I don't know him to be a liar. I'm like, please. And then she sees it and she's like, what did he say? And then
right.
Andy is like, let her listen to it again. She saw it a second time. And then she's like, well, I thought the same thing that Andy said. I thought that she was going to say, well, you guys were trying to tell me all season that something was wrong with him. And now I know that he's like spewing this bullshit. But instead, she goes the opposite way. And she's just like, well, all season, you've been trying to tell me something's wrong with him. But now you believe him. And I'm like, you are making this.
Okay, wait. Is that not a valid point, though? Because I don't really know if I don't fully believe her. But is it not a valid point that they've been saying he's been full of shit all season. And then now they really want to believe her. And I guess that in their minds, it's like, okay, that explains everything. And I kind of feel like if you're one of the other women, like seeing how quickly they were believing his story and his claim.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think that like they have they have kind of a collective.
They want it to be true. They want Stacey.
I think they want it to be true, but I also think that like from what they've seen as people who have filmed with her for several months at that point, they've seen some like a lack of authenticity or like we're not buying what you're selling completely. Or maybe there's some stuff behind the scenes that like have hinted toward. I feel like they were quick to believe it and they've been sort of criticized for that online, but like they know more than we do. You know, in terms of how right. Stacey is in these environments. And so, like, right. How TJ is. And so
the crazy part about this is that Stacey went to Kim Pyre. Shout out to Kim Pyre.
Okay.
Kim Pyre had a show. Stacey showed up at Kim Pyre's show. This is the first time that I heard of what's going to come out on part three. And that was that TJ was going to be saying that he was being paid. And she told Kim Pyre that it wasn't true. So I don't know. I think that there's
she,
more.
She said it wasn't true that that was what comes out.
She said
or it wasn't true that she paid him.
I think it wasn't true that I'm not really sure. Okay. I just know that she just denied this whole thing. And Kim Pyre was like, she came to my show and she lied to me.
Okay.
So I think then, she might have, you know, lied about something there. So something else was going on.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Like, they were so quick to believe TJ just to like finally get her in a gotcha moment. But at the same time, she should have took that moment and kind of been like, well, you guys are trying to tell me something was wrong this whole time. And this is what it is. Like, he's lying on me. But she kept defending it to the end.
No, she didn't handle it well at all. No,
she didn't. Yeah. And I'm like, I get it. But that's what makes me want to see more of her.
Totally agree.
Because she's just like a phoenix from the ashes. Still,
absolutely. Still she rises, baby. And it's interesting because I did a poll on Twitter and a poll on Threads about, do you believe TJ that Stacey paid him to be her boyfriend on the show?
What they said.
They both pretty much had the same percentages in terms of the results of the polls. They both were at 70% don't believe him.
Oh.
And 30% do. Yeah.
Oh.
Both of the polls.
Nobody.
And my instant reaction because I watched it twice, and the first time I was like, 100% I believe him. That was my instinct to believe. I think now that I've seen the audience reaction, I'm a little bit more iffy on it, but I do think that there's something there. And there's a couple of people who replied on Twitter who like had kind of interesting points. So like one person said, Sam Herbst said, my take is that TJ saying she owes him money is more of a, I gave her a storyline and she should pay me for that more than she paid me to be on the show for her. Somebody else thinks it was an arrangement of like, can you come on the show and promote XYZ because they met on QVC. Some people said they think he wants to just be compensated for appearing on the show as her boyfriend, whether he was hired to be that or not. Like there, I think there is room for gray area in what he's saying. Where it's not like, as you said, it's not like she was like cash apping him money.
Yeah, like literally, like,
right.
Just cash apping himself to be her boyfriend per se.
Right.
But I just want to know that, like, even if there was an arrangement in general, whatever it was, like, where was it? I don't even know how to phrase this. He did a terrible job at whatever right. She was paying him to
he
do.
He really did. Yeah, the survey of how satisfied she would be with the services would be
right.
One star, you know, you weren't convincing, you're a bad actor.
If she was paying him, then why is the whole audience, we're not buying this for like,
no, exactly.
The Nile is a river. Like in the, it was just too much. And then for him to also, he didn't say that on the recording, but Eddie was saying, oh, it was painting him out to be flamboyant. I'm like, baby.
Silence.
Yeah. Baby. But yeah. That's not the point. The point is that if you are being paid to be on the show and to act like her boyfriend or whatever, you were supposed to be her best friend. You did not even act like a best friend.
No. I mean, at Wendy's birthday party, he was like talking to her really demeaningly and it was like ridiculous. So yeah, he. I wouldn't tip him for his services. So like, good for Stacey for denying it. I guess now I'm back.
Yeah,
to
like if she missed her payments, it was because she probably saw those episodes and she was like, actually,
this is some bullshit. Paying for this. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Kaya, the reunion overall, I feel like the reunion overall was one of the best in years, pretty much for like any franchise. Like I, in terms of like my level of enjoyment watching it, like. I was laughing the entire time. There was some good tea spilled kind of throughout. They were verbally sparring in a way that like you don't really see on any other franchise right now. Yep. Honestly, when you know it's good as that, like this season deserved a two-parter. It did not deserve a three-parter, but because of what they delivered in the reunion, they got three right. parts.
Yeah. And I will say like Salt Lake City, every single episode, there wasn't a single episode of Salt Lake City that I didn't watch at least twice.
Right.
But when it came to that reunion, it wasn't giving me like it. And it's okay because they delivered on.
It's because the season was so
high.
Right.
Right. Sure. And then right here, we have the opposite. The season wasn't all that, but the reunion was amazing. I will say it's the second best Potomac reunion, the first best being The Binder for me.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, that's iconic. That's legendary.
Cannot be top. But this was the second best Potomac reunion, and it's very high up there in reunions, like between, you know, the Atlanta reunions, and it's really good.
They proved their worth.
Like, they can have a season off.
It feels like Potomac in this reunion remembered what Potomac should feel like and what it should be like. And I think a big part of that for me was actually how Wendy was and how Giselle was. And we know that they cleared the air going into the season. They had that lunch that we saw like 2 seconds of. We know it was like a much longer lunch that they talked, but don't have to get into that. I loved their banter at this reunion because it felt like they had landed in a place where Giselle has like more respect for Wendy than she had for a while. Wendy had no airs about her. I think Karen not being there was actually a really good thing for Wendy because I think she felt almost even more, she stepped into her power more in this reunion, I would say. And they weren't pretending to like each other, but there were moments where they gave each other a little credit on the side.
They had the alley-oop. Like,
totally.
There were
1-2 punches. Like, mm-hmm. during the Stacey thing, they were cracking each other up. Like, there was something about where they landed where I was like, whoa, I didn't think that Giselle and Wendy could ever get to this point. And they did.
The most unexpected duo that we did not know that we needed. Yes. And it was great. They had Mia on the alley-oop and they had Stacey like on the alley-oop because she was like, because she's lying too. And it was just so good. It was so good. Also, I just think this season, Wendy was my MVP of the season, I have to say, because she just had, I mean, she annoyed me with her 77 birthdays, but you know what? She turned 40, so I understand. But she was really like, this is a housewife. Like,
she had the
home life, the marriage, like, you know, with the girls, having the trips, getting in other people's business. Like, she really went there. And I'm just so proud of Wendy. I love her and Giselle. But I do want to know what you think about the Karen scene. What
that was cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I still have big questions about that. Because obviously I would have loved to see it. Because it would have added color to where they stood, honestly, coming out of the season. But one of my big questions is sort of like, I don't know where that would have fit into the season, because the information that Stacey had about what Karen told her didn't come to Wendy until the finale party. And so if she's filming a scene with Karen one-on-one about that information, it would have to logically come after the finale party. But then would they end the season on...
It could have just been maybe like a flashback, I guess.
Yeah. For sure. But it just, I don't know where it would have fit. And I obviously would have loved to see it. But I recently DM'd a producer and I was not of Potomac, of just Housewives. Mm-hmm. And I was like, while I have you, can I just ask you a question? What happens when a clip, we see it in a trailer or a teaser and it doesn't make it into the season? And this person was like, We are so frustrated when that happens, but it's because we cut the trailers before the season's done. And so sometimes things just don't fit in, which makes total sense. But I feel like when this happens, it's almost always something like
that's relevant to the story.
Relevant or like we're not going to forget that. Like, the really eagle-eyed super fans are not going to forget that we saw Wendy checking Karen, you know? And like, cause that's unexpected. And so, I don't know why.
Okay, so then what do you think about the whole Karen and Ray after, you know, her talking about the DUI and everything?
Oh, the scene that looks like a Mariah Carey music video where she's laying on the bed.
She's just laying down. I'm like, what is she reading upside down? Like,
yeah, no, I mean, I was with Giselle where we saw her in the little corner of the screen being like, turn this off. Like, they're really covering a lot of their bases in a 3-minute scene where it's like they're trying to dispel the blue eyes thing still. And it's like, why this is
more serious.
And also it's like, this is not what the purpose of this is. This is like to like show us that you are getting it, that in terms of your issues and what, how you've been drinking and your DUI. Like, this is not, the purpose of this is not to like dispel other rumors that, you know, I guess the, there was the thing that Ashley brought up about like somebody might have been in the car with her, but like, it just didn't land. It didn't land. And Ray was Ray was like really clunkily trying to get her there too. And like, again, I love Karen so much, but like that, it didn't land.
Okay, so when do we think, because I feel like that scene where we saw her in the bed versus the scene that we saw at the beginning of the reunion, it was just two different, like...
She was in the same outfit.
Oh, okay.
I think because we had the one where she was like really no makeup and she was crying
in front of the fireplace.
And then the second one where she's like, I'm going to come back as Karen. And that's where she talked about the antidepressants for the first time, I think, that we had heard. I'm not going to come back to this Grand Dame. I think she's wearing that same white outfit and she's really made up. Oh. I'm pretty sure that's the same day.
Okay, because I just felt like that might have been like after.
I don't think she filmed three different times. I think she filmed twice. But okay. That's my hunch about it.
I wanted to know because I'm like something.
Yeah. And I feel like, and listen, it's like, again, I think the facade that Karen had up, we all sort of knew she had a facade up. Obviously, like that was like part of her quote unquote shtick, if you want to say that. Like that was a sort of like, I sort of love a sort of DeLulu housewife, you know?
Yeah, she's the oldest on the cast.
Totally. She's the grand dame and she wants you to bow down at her feet, but she still has that, the Kern in her, right? And like, there's an argument to be made though, that I think that Karen not being there at the reunion was, it kind of showed that in some way she was holding some of them back, because I think that like, whether it was to like respect her quote unquote, or like abide by the facade that she was holding up and it sort of petered down to other people without her there and being the literal fence between them. I think she like, she, you know, we all know she said she rides the fence. I think sometimes she was this literal like blockage sometimes, but I didn't realize until hindsight that maybe they needed to take Karen out of the equation for like Wendy and Giselle to really get there, for Wendy and Ashley to really spar like that they did on the reunion. Like, I don't know. I think the reunion was really great. I would have doubted a reunion being this good without Karen being there. And I was surprised.
If she was there,
it would have been dark.
It would have been too dark. Like, it wouldn't have been, because we know what happens now, because the third part, we're watching her and she's actually like literally in a cell right now. And I'm like,
crazy.
That's insane. But she wasn't there. So it also, I think also they would have spent more time trying to like, oh, get Karen because of what we found out.
Yeah.
And we really wouldn't have gotten to Mia the way that we needed to get to Mia. And we got Mia's ass.
Right.
And we got Stacey too. So I think that she had to be absent in this reunion. But I do want her back on the show.
No, I want her back on the show, but I want her to come back in. I've made this connection before as Karen, but I also made this connection of to Countess Luann, where it's like they both were like these women who manners and, you know, proper, and kind of condescending. And that was their thing. But then they had a huge moment that sort of brought them down to earth. And Luann, as we all know, responded to that in a pretty iconic way. And she was looser and cooler and like, you know, just more free with it because it was all put into perspective for her. I would love if Karen came back with a similar aura. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be pretty cool and pretty great. And I think she will be back after her sentence. But we're going to have a full season without her, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, for the first time. I'm wondering, like, so ideally, this cast coming up, what would you say that they should do?
Yeah, I mean, as you said earlier, I think the Karen officially having to miss this season, at least, you know, it changes everything, I think. Because in my mind, it was sort of like, okay, she goes to jail for like 3 months and like they start filming and then she comes halfway through. You know, like that was in my mind what was going to happen, right? She'll be away for a full year. I mean,
she'll be out like 8 months or so, but the thing is,
she'll
that's
be back
not
for
enough.
Season 11. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not enough time for her to come back to the actual season.
And I guess like, if you think about it, they could like have her show up at next reunion or something like that. They literally could do that.
That would be iconic.
I think you obviously bring back Wendy, Giselle. I think you bring back Ashley full time. You bring back Mia, whether that's a friend or not, is up to you. But either way, she has to have a stern talking to with producers, and you have to minimize her personal storyline. You just do. Like, you have to really react to how everybody's taken that. Obviously, bring back Stacey full time. Kay, I want her back, whether it's a friend of her full time. I'll let them decide that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I think Jazzy is a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think Kaya, I know she was on two episodes this season, but Vivian coming for Stacey over the dress thing and some of the Instagram and the tweet that she did were like pretty damn hard.
That was good.
And I was like, you know,
because
what?
Because we saw them.
You know what?
And then she has a natural.
Totally.
Right?
Start this. The local Fox 5 news broadcast that I was watching to find out about Karen's sentence interviewed Vivian live on air as we were waiting. And she was like, not holding back. And you know what? That's the kind of energy that I want to see in somebody on Housewives. So bring Vivian in as a tentative friend. See how the Stacey thing goes at the beginning of the season about the dress and see if it can, if it's a one episode thing. Great, she can be a guest for one episode and we'll call it a day. But if she shows a little promise as a friend of, I'll take it. Clearly the women have known her for a long time, so she fits naturally in.
Yeah, she fits naturally. That's what I was just about to say. I have not heard that perspective yet, but I would be here for it.
Okay. Is there anything else you would do differently from what I said with the cast?
No, I think I want Jazzy back. I want Stacey. I want Giselle. I want Ashley. I want
Wendy.
Wendy's for sure. And then I need Mia to answer for her crimes. So, like, she has
but I don't want a season.
I don't
want
to see it. Yeah.
I don't want the season to be a.
She did too much.
Crimes.
Yeah. It was too much.
Yeah. But, and then you add somebody new, right?
Yeah. I think someone new, and it has to be someone who fits very well. And I don't think it should be, you know, like another young person like, Kiana or Jazzy. I think it needs to be someone who's very established.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
A lot of people were, I don't think, because a lot of people are asking, do you think Robin should come back? No.
Too soon.
I like seeing Giselle without
too soon.
Robin. It's too soon. And some people were saying Charisse, but mm-hmm. I feel that Charisse, when she did come back, it was the only thing that made her interesting was that she was pissed
the Karen
off Karen.
Stuff. I know, so, I know. And no, I think some people would argue that that Karen was holding her back and sort of blocking her from anything else. But I don't agree. I don't have anything against Charisse. I just don't
see it for her.
I'm with you on that. And I think that with Robin, I do think she's been so fun to see on Traders because she's not in that environment anymore.
Right.
But I think that like you have to give Giselle and Wendy another season at least to really sink into this dynamic that we just talked about. Otherwise it will be fleeting, and I don't want it to be fleeting because it's really good. So it's like let them sink into it for a full season, and then you can potentially bring back a Robin or a Candace and see how they respond to that, because those are their besties. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so like that's where then it gets interesting again. But I think one
Candace
season away
is too little. Yeah, I didn't see Candace hanging around and partying with some of the people from the song. But I think that she should take another season. I think it was I think it was one or two people from Potomac. She was out and about because she said that she wanted a ratchet night out. Because she's been a mom.
Yeah.
Period. So I'm like, interesting. But I don't know if this season coming up should be it. Maybe next season.
I want one more without Robin or Candace. That's what I would say. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was on my list to talk to you about. I mean, we obviously learned a lot of like little details about the Karen stuff. I don't really want to rehash the like sentencing of it all.
Yeah.
Like that's out there. I've done an episode about that. But it's just crazy to learn that like we did learn on the reunion that from Giselle that she turned down a plea deal of 6 months house arrest and or 60 days in jail. And that just to me points to either or both bad legal advice.
That's what I'm saying.
We know that she fired her lawyers after she was charged, but also just there was an arrogance there. There was a feeling that she was untouchable and she wasn't.
But it's like, I mean, I think it's 100% bad legal advice. Obviously, there was an arrogance there. But the thing is that if you are a lawyer and you see your client acting a damn fool.
Right.
Like that, there's no way that you take it to trial.
I know.
But it's also in the legal system.
DUI, like, take the plea deal.
It's also like, I guess she felt I got away with this three other times. Why wouldn't I get away with it a fourth?
Yeah. And this fourth time, she has this like increased public platform and she's been built up, you know? And, you know, I can't relate to, I don't know what that feels like to be in that position where you're gassed up probably everywhere you go, you know? It's like, and that's not defending it, sort of just trying to understand like where her mind really was at. And
I don't know. I can't relate because as a Black woman, because I understand that she's famous. But as a Black woman in the legal system, mm-hmm. We can get famous, but you are a Bravo celebrity. So like, really, mm-hmm. you're like a C-lister.
Yeah, for sure.
So to be a Black woman and in the legal system and you've been skating and you've been getting away with it since 2006, I don't think that you should even feel that you're untouchable. You can never right. feel untouchable as a person of color in the legal system. So I can't relate to that. So she had to get that. But ooh. Yeah, that reunion was so good.
Oh, the reunion was so good. What's happening with Karen is so surreal. And it just ultimately, though, I think if you're talking about the show,
mm-hmm.
and we'll wrap up here, it's just sort of like it's hard not to land in a place of like feeling like this reunion has teed them up to just like teeing them up to have the season I thought they were going to have this season. At the beginning, right. I thought it was really promising. It took right. a little longer, but we're going to get there. And it feels like yeah. season 10. That's pretty great timing. Season 10 should be good for any show. So
it's gonna be good. I'm sorry. I believe in my girls. They got this.
Yeah, me too. Oh, me too. Me too. They got back to what it feels like to watch Potomac, right? Like
right.
It was so good. I want to rewatch the reunion again. Like that's
uncensored.
Literally, yeah, there we go. Well, Kaya, this has been so much fun. Sorry for taking a little bit more of your time than I expected
to.
But there's a lot to talk about, all of us. Because again, this season, I didn't think there was gonna be a lot to talk about during an episode recapping the season. There's a lot to talk about.
Just the reunion in itself was
exactly.
amazing.
Exactly. So good. How often do you release new episodes of Bravo All Black? Do your plugs before we sign off.
Yeah, my iPad is about to die, but okay. Follow me at Bravo All Black, releasing 2 times a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays. And Gibson, thank you so much for having me. I love you so much. And you're going to be on my podcast very soon.
I'd love to be back, and I love you too. And then, again, this is a long time coming. I'm so glad that we're in the Herd At family together, and we'll do this again soon. We really will.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much, Kaya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgabe@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.
This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.